Yud Zayin Adar Sheni, Wednesday the 23rd of March, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen. If a deal's worth doing, it's worth doing properly.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're holding Shleish Miyam Shreda Machar 30 days before Pesach. Minig Chal Yisrael is to start preparing oneself. That's when it comes to the men. The women start already many months before, especially if you come from a Yekish home. This concept of Bezikas Chometz, which we spend so much time and effort into, the Mefarshim, the Bali Musa, explain that the concept of removing Chometz from a house doesn't only signify taking away the Chometz, it signifies checking ourselves for all Hanhokas that we're doing throughout our day and making sure that it's being done Kedasu Kedin Al Pi Halacha. We've had a number of shurim here over the years that we've discussed the halachas regarding Chesh Mishpat and particularly Ribbis in the workplace, and if I can use a moshel, imagine your wife now 30 days before Pesach, a cleaner walks out on her, Lerlena, and a new lady arrives from Poland and she's never been in a Jewish home before and she comes into your house. Imagine the scene if your wife says, okay, in 30 days' time, we've got Pesach. You should know on Pesach, we're not allowed any chametz. Please clean the house for Pesach, and I'll come back before Yom Tov. Right? And that's it. That's the instructions. So, you'll come back before Yom Tov, and you'll see that there are wafers in the children's room because wafers isn't bread, and then there's whiskey in the dining room because whiskey isn't bread, and then there's crumbs in the kids' pocket because what's crumbs, etc. So, it's clear to all of us that in order to explain what's required, one would have to go into all the details. And even then, basically, the bottom line, what you're probably going to say is, if you've got any questions, come back and check with me, rather than deciding of your own accord. When it comes to Hilchos Ribbis in the workplace, in partnerships, in investments, etc., it's far, far more complex than Bedikas Chometz. And yet, there seems to be this concept, as we've mentioned a number of times before, that when people have a shaila, then they are okay to come and ask it. But the problem is, most of the time they don't realize what b'chal is a shaila. Now, I don't intend today, I know this, we've got a sheet here, and I think they're going to put it online as an attachment to the shaila, those who can't be here. I don't intend today to explain all the issues, and definitely not the solutions to those issues, that one comes across in a partnership. What I would like to do today is to try and highlight some of the main, most common points which keep cropping up. Particularly, I'd like to deal with a situation where you have a partnership or a company where one partner is a silent partner. In other words, he just invests the money. He doesn't have anything to do with running that company. And the other partner is what's called the misasik. The other partner is the one who runs the company, and he's the one who day-to-day is taking care of that company. Now, I've made this chart, so let's hope it makes it clearer instead of more complicated. But as it says at the top, when a company or partnership is formed in which there's a managing partner and a silent investing partner, that is what today's share is all about. Now, the first box underneath it is really a side point, which is the rest of the shiur is not relevant to this, but this itself is, we've mentioned this is, again, I think a year or two ago in one of the shiurim on Ribbis, and that is, if the investing partner doesn't have the money himself to invest, when I say the investing partner, I mean the silent partner, he doesn't have the money himself, so he goes to his bank, and he borrows that money. So let's say, you've got, I'm the misasik, I'm the one who's going to be doing a property deal, I need £100,000. Reuven comes along and he's happy to invest with me £100,000, but he doesn't have the money, so no problem. He goes to his bank and he borrows £100,000. But he comes to me and he says, listen here, yeah, that's his investment into the deal, but he wants the company, my company, to pay the mortgage that he has on the £100,000. Now that, as we mentioned a number of times before, is osa. And it's osa for the simple reason that when Reuven brings this money to the company, that's his money. How he borrows it, the expenses that he incurs, is his problem. If he's going to be passing on an interest charge to the company, then for all intents and purposes, what he's saying is, I'm lending the company money and you have to pay the interest charge, which I have to pay the bank. This is exactly the same as the halachas which we discussed. You go and buy something on your credit card for somebody else, you're not allowed to pass on that interest charge. We spoke about when you buy a property in somebody else's name, the mortgage, etc., that needs to be resolved. So if and let's be very clear here, if the investing partner, who is a silent partner, borrows money from a bank, he's not allowed to pass on that interest charge to the company. Now, when the active partner, the misasik, borrows money from the bank, even from his own personal bank, for the company, that's a different halacha, which we'll see if we have time to come back to. I doubt we will. But that's already a different halacha. There are definitely certain shittas there that are more makel. Now, if we move on now, we have two options. We have either that the managing partner is investing his own money, right? Either that the managing partner is going to also invest his own money, not just the silent partner, or that the managing partner is not investing his own money. He is purely managing the company, and the investing partner brings in all the capital, and that's how the shittas works. Now let's go to the box at the right at the moment. Let's talk about a case when the managing partner does not put in any capital of his own, it's all the investing partner. Now that's very simple. In halacha, that's called the iska. The Gemara says, "Hi iska, pal gemilva, pal gebikodin." We've mentioned this a number of times. That means, if this person, Reuven, comes along to me, let's say the property costs £500,000, I'm going to get £400,000 from the bank, I'm not putting in any money of my own, and I need the £100,000 down payment. So I go to Reuven, and he's prepared to invest £100,000. Now, says the Gemara, min astam, when he invests £100,000, if he doesn't stipulate anything at all, and this might be different nowadays, definitely comes as a shock to businessmen who deal with this kind of thing. If he doesn't stipulate anything, the source says the Gemara, the intent is pal gemilva, pal gepikod. What that means is that £50,000 of the 100 is his investment in this deal, and £50,000 he's lending me so that I can invest in this deal, and now we're 50-50 partners in the deal. That means that we both have £50,000 equity in this property. We've each put in 50,000, even though I didn't bring any money from home. He bought 100,000, half he lent to me, and half he invested into the, and half is his investment in this deal. That is the status it sets up of an ISKA. It doesn't have to be 50-50, it could be 75-25, 80-20, 40-60, whatever you want, whatever is agreed. But if nothing is actually agreed, then Astam says the Gemara, it's 50-50. So, that is what this column is doing over here. When the managing partner has not invested any of his own money, instead, what's he got? So now, underneath, it says, if the managing partner is personally liable to the investing partner for some or all of the money he's invested, that's what we just explained. That's iska. In other words, when Reuven brings 100,000 to the table, if half of it he's lending to me, that means the £50,000, I'm personally liable to him. I've borrowed, so to speak, from him £50,000. I'm mashubah to pay him back that money. Now, sometimes you have deals where I'm not borrowing anything. I'm not liable for any of the money. I'm going to develop this property. He's putting in £100,000. I'm not personally liable at all. If that happens, that's called kulipikodin. Now, it's all the investment he's putting in is his, and all I'm doing is I'm managing the property, so to speak. Now, in those situations, because I have no risk, normally, my level of percentage in this deal is going to be much far less. All I'm doing is, so to speak, property management. You can say, go to a property managing company and pay them to manage your property. So here, in order for me to be a proper shutter with 40%, 50%, whatever it is, more often than not, there's going to be some element of liability and some element of risk that I have to take on as well. And that is where the problems start. Now, if you look, I've put underneath this box, I put three different boxes, and these are the three areas of potential problems which one has to be aware of. The first one, on the left, the silent partner wants the capital of his investment guaranteed, a shaila needs to be asked. Now this is unfortunately relatively common. Somebody comes in, maybe not so much in a property deal, but let's say you have I came across it, somebody had a deal, property in Europe, in Eastern Europe it was, and you was trying to get people here in London to invest in his property portfolio, and they were reluctant to do so. So he said, you know what, I'll guarantee your capital, you invest with me the money, a regular shutus, whatever the percentage as well, and I'm going to guarantee your capital. The problem with that is mafurish and Mishnah that it's awesome. The Mishnah says in Eshech, that barzel, which means literally iron sheep, which what used to happen was, people used to come with their sheep, and they give it to a shepherd. and I tell the shepherd, you please look after my sheep. You have to undertake complete liability for the sheep. That means at the moment I'm giving you a sheep worth, I don't know what the current market for sheep is, £500 per sheep. So I'm giving you my sheep, £500 a sheep. You undertake that this sheep is going to come back to me worth £500. And if it's worth less than £500, or if it dies, you pay me the difference. And then all the wool and all the milk that came, and the children, the vlodos that came from these sheep, they used to split between the shepherd and the owner. Right, so it's a very good setup. I provide the sheep, I give it to the shepherd, I've got no loss, in fact, no loss risk at all, because anything goes wrong with those sheep, he's underwritten the value of the sheep, he's going to pay me back. And now for that, and the fact he's looking after my sheep, he takes half of the vlodos and the wool and the milk, etc., whatever the percentage is agreed. Says the Mishnah, that's awesome. It's awesome, midrabbanan. And the reason is because it's called korev l'sar, berochet behest. If something is a genuine investment, if, so to speak, I'm investing with him, then it doesn't make sense in an investment, al pi halacha. I know in the world we live in, the words investment and the word loan have different connotations. But al pi halacha, if I'm invested, that means if there's a gain, I win. If you know, I benefit. If there's a loss, then I lose out by it. If I cannot lose out by it, if all the loss is borne by the person who I'm investing with, then I'm not actually investing. If my capital is guaranteed, then that is basically called a halvo. If it's called a halvo, then I've got no right to get back more than the £500 a head sheep that I'm giving in. So that means that the vlodos which come from these sheep are not my vlodos. The wool and the milk are not mine because it's not my sheep. It's as if, so to speak, I've sold him the sheep, or I've lent him the money, and now he's going to give me back my money. So therefore, when he gives me back anything extra above £500 a sheep, in other words, my share of the profits, that's Ribbis Drabonim. The reason why it's not Ribbis Drabonim is a separate point. Tosfos comes along, and Tosfos, for reasons to do with the sugya over there, doesn't argue in halacha with the way Rashi learns the Mishnah. Tosfos comes along and says, practically speaking, the Mishnah must be talking about not just where he guaranteed the capital value of the sheep, he also guaranteed a certain amount of profit a year. So in other words, he's saying, I'm going to underwrite your sheep at £500 a head, and apart from that, I'm also going to give you back £100 profit a year for vlodos, wool, milk, whatever it might be. And he personally guaranteed that return. Says Tosfos, that is Ribbis Daraisa. That's Mamish Ribbis Daraisa. Because if what you're saying is, when you guarantee a capital, you guarantee that the person can't have any losses at all, that becomes a halvor. So then the moment you guarantee the return on the halvor, that's guaranteed interest. That by definition, is interest. If I borrow your money, and I'm guaranteeing to pay you back a fixed amount extra, then that's Ribbis Daraisa. So again, let's be clear. If a person makes an investment, and on the investment, and we're talking specifically here where the managing partner hasn't put in any of his own money, so the misasik, the silent partner, comes along, he's putting in all the money. If the person puts in all the money, gets his capital guaranteed, which those of you who deal, I don't know how many people here deal in these kind of things, but it's more common than one might think, or the offer at least, to have your capital guaranteed, that's a way of a person trying to show you that it's such a solid deal, I'll even guarantee your capital. The moment capital is guaranteed, you're not allowed to take back more than your capital, which is clearly not what you're going into the investment for. Right? The moment that your profits are guaranteed, then you're already in more dangerous water. That's Ribbis Daraisa. Which means, let's just clarify what that means, Ribbis Daraisa. The Nafkimina, as we mentioned before, between Ribbis Daraisa and Ribbis Drabonon, is the Ribbis Drabonon, you're not allowed to take l'chachila initially. If you did take it, Bezdin cannot tell you to pay it back. There is a chiyuv lotzei sidei shamayim, so to speak, the ethically correct thing to do of your own accord is to return that money. Ribbis Daraisa is motzim b'dayanim. Bezdin can come to you and instruct you that you're chayav to return that money. So imagine, you come along and you put your money into an investment, guaranteed capital, guaranteed returns, for however many years it's in this investment, you make X amount of profit, you receive that profit, al pi halacha you're chayav to return that profit to the person you invested with. So that's the first area of concern, if the profits are guaranteed or not. The second box, the middle one. No problem. This whole shit is dealing with a Jewish company, and I should have added. Thank you. I should have added as well. We've mentioned in the past. I can't each time go through all the halachos of Ribbis, but we have mentioned in the past. There's a famous Shitta of Moshe Feinstein, who is Mekel when it comes to lending to a Jewish limited company. I've mentioned before that we don't paskin like that. Here in England, I don't know anyone who paskins like this Shitta. In America, there are some who use it in certain situations. Now, so I don't think it's used at all. But there are most of these Shilas will touch on Moshe. In other words, and some of these Shilas, according to Moshe, it would be less of a problem or no problem at all. But again, we don't rely on this Kula of Moshe. And therefore, as we have mentioned, Ramosha will be relevant to some of these shilas, not all of these shilas, but again, we don't pass it like this shitter. Now, the middle case is if the investor wants a preferential return, i.e., the first X amount of profits the company generates each year he receives, and after that, the profits are split. Now, this is also quite common. What that means is, same scenario, Reuven's come to me. Now, let's not talk about a property. I mean, you can have a property as well. Let's say my property is going to have tenants in and everything else. There's going to be a certain amount of income generated each year once you pay back the bank's mortgage. Right? Reuven's coming in. He's putting in £100,000, whether it's 50 for him, 50 for me, whatever the makeup is. And now he says, listen here. The first £10,000 profit that we make each year, I get. After that, I'm happy to split it 80-20, 50-50, whatever you want. But the first £10,000 profit that I get, the company generates each year, comes to me. That's what's referred to as a preferential return. It means he gets preference over taking profit, and it's not split equally. We're talking about whether... not the case of the box before. It's an if. I've guaranteed some of the capital, because some of it I've borrowed. So now 100,000 he's invested, 50,000 I borrowed, that's my money in the deal, 50,000 is his money in the deal, but because he brought all the money to the table, whatever it is, he wants the first 10,000 a year. Right? Now here is where you have a problem. The reason you have a problem is, if you understand, al pi halacha, each of us have put in the same amount of money, now albeit the money I put in, I couldn't have put in had he not lent it to me, that's true. But now we both put in the same amount of money, we're shutrim. Now, it doesn't make a difference whether we're 50-50 shutrim or 80-20 shutrim, but we're partners. That means every pound generated in this deal gets split according to the shutras. If we're 50-50 shutrim, then 50p in every pound profit belongs to each of us. Right? Al pi halacha. That's the way a shutras works. Now, why am I prepared to give up my 50p in every one of the first £10,000 that's earned? Why am I giving him my chilek? In other words, if the company makes £10,000 this year, the first £10,000 should belong £5,000 to him and £5,000 to me, if we 50-50 should.
You lent me the money.
So why is it, say Chazal, you know why I'm doing that? Because he lent me the money. Because he lent me the money, I'm prepared to give him the first £10,000 profit no matter what. And maybe that becomes a problem of Rupus again. So giving, and this, by the way, let's be clear, this is only a problem when I myself haven't put in any of my own money. When all the money I put in is money which I borrowed from him, that's when it becomes a problem. If I myself, and that's why it's on this side of the page, because this side of the page is talking about where I haven't put in any of my own money. If I myself had put in my own money, this would be a different halacha. So again, when he comes to me, he brings all the money, and we split the money, whichever way we split it, I'm not allowed to give him a preferential return on the profits.
Does time count as money?
Does time count as money? In which case? In this case, I'm putting all the time. Here, I'm putting all the time. I'm the one managing it. It doesn't count as money. That's why I might be entitled to 50 cents. No, you're right. But what we're saying is, as far as the reason why I'm prepared to give him a din kadima, why am I giving him preferential return? It's because he lent the money. Because he brought the money to the table at the beginning, he lent the money.
Should go on this side, no? If you charge him £1 an hour
of
your time. Sorry.
No, I hear what you're asking. But the halacha is, if I'm not actually bringing any money to the table, even though by definition, by me being the managing partner, I'm not putting it all the time, nevertheless, I cannot give him a preferential return. And let's move on to the final box here. If the managing partner doesn't receive a management fee, a shayla needs to be asked. Now, we've mentioned before exactly how Iska works. And again, Iska works, as we just said, he brings £100,000 to the table, he's lending 50 to me, and 50 is his investment. So he's invested 50, I've invested 50. And now we come to your point. Now we come to the point that you're raising. If in the end of the day, I'm the one managing the whole property, why am I managing his half of the property for free? If I don't charge a management fee, why am I managing his part of the property free? You know why? Because he lent me the other half of the money. So because he lent me the 50,000 I needed for my half, that's why I'm prepared to manage his half for free. That itself is ribbis. to such an extent that halacha says, the Gemara says, that if we don't stipulate an amount that I'm getting paid as a management fee, then api halacha, if the risk is split, the liability is split 50-50, then I get 2/3 of the profit. So if you don't say any management fee, the halacha is, I get 2/3 of the profit, and he gets 1/3.
The manager gets
2/3. In other words, he's being given a 1/6 extra as a management fee. If the liability is 50-50, so he gets 2/3 of the profit instead of 50% of the profit as a management fee. Now this, I can't go into now why it's like this, otherwise we won't get through the rest of the shiur. This can be avoided, probably by the best investment you'll ever make, £1. By paying £1 for the management fee, you can get around the whole problem. I can't go into now why all of a sudden here in Hilchos Ribbis we allow you to pay such a token amount, but if you fix that I'm paying him a management fee, and this management fee is £1, that is okay. And those of you who have ever written a Heter Iskah, or signed on a Heter Iskah, will know that this is where the figure of pound is in a Heter Iskah, because every Heter Iskah is working with the principles of Iskah, and in an Iskah you have to be paying at least £1 management fee. But if you don't have an amount that you're paying him as a management fee, then you have a problem. Sorry? What about? One up him forever. Without explaining properly why it is, basically the reason is because here, since he's also working on this business in any case for himself, the money that he's invested, there's not that much more work that he has to do for your half. In other words, if it's, let's say, a property, it's not like upstairs it's mine and downstairs it's yours. The whole property is owned by Shutwas. So he's going to have to work on it in any case for his investment. So therefore we're prepared to accept a token gesture. That's what the Chavastas explains. We're prepared to accept a token gesture of a pound, whatever it is, but there has to be a figure. If you don't put in that pound, you can end up paying thousands of pounds by getting two-thirds. If we now move across to the other half, what happens in a case where the managing partner has invested some of his own money? Now again, let me be clear, I'm not saying that all of the problems which we've just spoken about don't apply. Some of them might apply, but that's already more complicated. When they do, when they don't. I'm trying to highlight the primary questions which people need to be alert for and looking out for. When the managing partner has also invested some of his own money, then the main problem which one can come across, and I think it's extremely common, and I'll explain why it is in a minute, is let's take the property here. Let's take this property. The property costs £500,000. Initially what we said is he's putting in £100,000, which we're splitting 50-50, and I'm actually not bringing any money of my own. Let's say the property costs £600,000. Right? The property costs £600,000. The bank is going to give £400,000, and I need £200,000. £100,000 I'm prepared to put my own money. Now I need another £100,000. So I go to my friend, Reuven, and he is prepared to put in the £100,000. Obviously that £100,000 is kulei pikkudin. There's no liability on me because I'm putting in my own £100,000. So again, very simple. The property costs £600,000. I'm putting in £100,000. He's putting in £100,000. I'm going to manage the whole thing, and we're going to split the profits however we split it. And a very normal setup. Now, here lies the problem. Reuven, who invests his money, sometimes will want his money called a loan. The reason I want it called a loan is, from a tax point of view, when he gets that money back from the investment, when the house is sold, if he lent £100,000 to the company, he doesn't have to pay any tax on that £100,000. Right, now again, I'm not a tax expert, so you can speak to your accountant for full ramifications, but therefore, 9 times out of 10, the money which he, so to speak, invests into a company, he will call a loan. Right? Now, that loan is secure, so to speak. Now, what happens? Let's say this property, when we eventually get to sell it, it drops in value. It goes from being worth 600,000 to 500,000. Right? Now, I put in, we pay back the banks 400,000 plus the interest, and there's now 100,000 left. Now, I put in 100,000, he put in 100,000. Now, sometimes, if he is coming along as a loan, his 100,000, he will get back his money before I take out any of mine. Right? He, the Meister, is coming along, he's after the bank, but he's before me. His money will come out before I get back my money, which means that his 100,000 is secure, so to speak, against my 100,000. That means that even though at this person, there's no personal liability on me, but I'm saying that his money will come from my equity in this property.
why does he got pregnancy if we both put
in? Because sometimes that's how you do it. If I'm the one doing the deal and I need an investor, and I'll go to him, sometimes you'll say that he, by the way, he's going to come off first.
But only if he's got priority.
If he's got priority. So, well, come on to a second, even if he doesn't have priority, that's a bit more complicated. Now, the problem is he's called it a loan. There's no documentation other than the contract which says he's lending the company. Now, the problem is that this. If he's lending the company, all he's doing is lending the company £100,000. Why is he getting half the profits? Right? I have a property, costs £600,000, I go to the bank, I get £400,000, I put in £100,000 of my own, and he's now lending the company another £100,000, and for that he's going to get half the profits. Why is he getting half the profits? Pardon?
That was the arrangement.
Why am I giving him half the profits? Because of the 100,000 that he brought into the company.
I mean, it could be just on the spec of the fact that he wanted to go through, and therefore...
You're right. I need him. Without him, I can't do the deal.
But on a monetary level, it should be 20% or whatever it is.
I'm not arguing about the percentages. I'm arguing about why is he getting anything? Why is he getting a penny? Because he brought the money. Who wants that policy? No, but why am I prepared to give him the money? Why am I giving him any of the profits?
Because
right, so that I need him for the deal. What has he done in this deal?
Not money.
Oh, can you clarify that? Not give money. What's he done for the deal? He hasn't invested money, because the only piece of paper that we have showing what he's actually done calls his money a loan. If the only piece of paper that we have says his money is a loan, that means he's lent money. So what you're saying is, I'm giving him half the profits because he lent me £100,000. You're right. You know what? Let me ask you a question. If I need a deal from you, and I go to you and I say, can I borrow money because I need this deal, and you lend me money, and you say, but you want 10% back a year on your money, right? And without you, I can't do the deal at all. Ribis deraisa. We're not debating the fact that without you I can't do the deal, but we have a halacha which says that when you borrow money from another yid, you're not allowed to pay him back anything more than the money that you borrowed. That's ribis deraisa. Nobody here, we're not here debating the ethics of why there's a problem in hilchos ribis, etc. And the whole world that we live in is so understood that the concept of ribis and interest and the rights of interest, etc. But between yidden, interest is awesome. So therefore, now let me just explain to you, because I'm running out of time, let me just afterwards, because I've got almost 2 minutes, and I just want to explain to you a kashmakacha on this point. And that's like this. There's one of two things, and this is the bottom box over here, the round one, because it's a bit open. There's two things that could happen in this setup. There's two things that could happen. Either, at the start of the company, I give him half the shares, because he's putting in half the money, or there aren't any shares. However that might be, we won't go into that now. There aren't any shares, and I just give him half the profit. What's the nafkamina between the two? If we say that this is a loan, and by the way, half of the problems, if not all the problems we've spoken about today, can be averted if one asks before and one restructures it in a way that's okay, al-pi halacha. But we're discussing when it's just done without any questions. If we're saying he's lent the company £100,000, and for that I'm giving half the profits. Now, if there aren't any shares at all, and every month I'm giving him half the profits, that means every month the profits I'm giving him a ribis. Now, if I haven't yet repaid the capital, then what you'll have to do, al-pi halacha, is work out all the payments that you've given him over the months for his income, deduct that from the capital which officially you owe him, and he will not get the rest of his capital. Okay, imagine a massive nafkamina. It could be about hundreds of thousands of pounds. If you initially, which in most cases the way it will be, is if you have shares issued, so you'll issue him half the shares, the ribis happens at that moment. At that moment when you gave him a share, let's say there are only two shares in the company, I have one and he has the other, and I give him a share for £1, on paper it says for £1, why am I giving him a share for £1? Because he lent me 100,000. At that moment, that's where there's ribis. Because I gave him a share for much, much cheaper than I should have. If anyone else in the street would have come to me for that share, I wouldn't have sold it to him for £1, not for £100. Right? For half the business. Why am I giving it to him? Because he lent me £100,000. But from then on, when he gets half of all the profits, then that's not ribis anymore. He's getting half the profits because he's a shareholder. As a shareholder, he's entitled to half. The problem was, on the initial day, I gave him ribis, that parshas would be ribis deraisa. And that initial day, if I give him a share for £1 when it's really worth much, much more than that, at that moment I've sold him something for cheap because he has lent me money, he's lent my company money, and at that moment that's where you'd have ribis deraisa. In short, I know it's complicated, there's a lot of facts, hopefully you'll take the paper and you'll have some problem with you. But the bottom line is, there are many of these shailas, these situations which are mamish every day, and one has to have one's eyes open for things which, not dafka when you see interest in flashing lights, you've got to look for the different points and ask the right shailas.